We are thinking about a lot of different things. Our Bishop Berlin, good guy, by the way. I don't agree with everything that took place at General Conference, but with that, I think we have a good Bishop Berlin to lead us in the Florida Conference. But I said all that to say this. He has challenged all the churches and all the members of the church to do a little bit of Wesley studies. Look into our Wesleyan traditions and our studies and all of that. And I think it's a good idea. But what I was thinking is what I always understood as the Wesley quadrilateral, and that's a big fancy word that don't mean much other than there's four little things that come together that give us a little bit of insight into what Wesley's thinking was. And they are scripture, reason, experience, and tradition. Now, man's tradition is man's tradition. Scriptural tradition is scriptural tradition. Some traditions are good. Some traditions are, I don't know why we do what we do sometimes, but we do. Well, that's our tradition, you know. But I was thinking that scripture always is first. And we got to be able to reason things out. We got to be able to think and to understand about solving problems. And wisdom is the beginning of knowledge. And wisdom is knowing God. And wisdom is something that is something we all need. Because if we're trying to solve a complex problem, like trigonometry, I can't even spell it, let alone try to figure it out. Or writing a computer program that maybe will guide a nuclear submarine or something, that requires some great intelligence. I think it goes beyond wisdom, but such intelligence does not always guarantee a fulfilling balance and productive life. Success in relationships, for example, raising children, which I failed miserably raising kids. I have one that turned out pretty good and got one that I don't know about. But raising children requires a lot of wisdom, and spiritual maturity are dependent not on intellect, but rather on wisdom. In the Bible, which devotes the whole book of Proverbs, I love Proverbs, to the subject and teaches that wisdom to masters life challenges and to understand spiritual truth is found only in God. Now, the Bible talks about that God is a being with intellect, Romans 11. And he has made this well-ordered universe in which truth can be known. Now, sometimes Jesus said, that set the truth, and the truth will set you free if you seek the truth, you know. And then you got old Ralphie says, you know, the only time you're not in harmony with the truth is when, sticks and stones will break my bones, and words will never hurt me, and all that kind of stuff. So, but human intellect is so important for us to be able to rational thinking and the reason together. That's why we come together in church. We come together to reason together. The creator and the creature, so to speak, us, we are involved in rational discussions about sin and forgiveness. I was looking at, I just closed it now, in Isaiah. And Isaiah was talking about how we need to come and reason together. God is telling us that we need to reason together. It's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says, now, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool white. That is so cool. And I was thinking about that because we all sometimes have challenges. So, if you buy a product or something and it don't work right, what do you want to do? You want to return it for repair. And you may have something you ordered through the mail and it may arrive damaged and you don't know what to do with it. You have to return it to the manufacturer for repair. And your life is the same way. I know, boy, do I ever. You know, 100 times a day I got to repent because I need to be repaired. And sometimes the painful experiences have left us damaged sometimes. And only God can truly repair us. So don't be afraid of God. Dare to reach out to God because He loves you far more than you will ever know. So, I don't know, just rambling here today, thinking about how we can help one another in this thing called faith or this thing called a relationship with the living God through Christ. Because we need one another. That's why it says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. When one falls down, the other is there to pick him up. So, as with God and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we fall down and there's nobody around, God will pick us up. He really and truly will. So, how does somebody gain or grow in wisdom? Well, we receive wisdom when we seek God and seek the source of His grace, which is through the Holy Spirit. God's Word is an unending source of wisdom for those who apply themselves to study. So, if we consider the human intellect, we must avoid two extremes, rationalism and anti-intellectualism. That's a word that I don't understand, but relationalism is for the purpose to promote of reason as the supreme authority and to seek answers to all the life's problems. Figuring things out, if you would. Humans are capable of figuring out a lot of things. That's why we have so many people with inventions and so forth. It's a knowledge begins with the senses that proceed to understanding. And you get a problem and you learn how to solve the problem. Now, and that's what happens with people that invent stuff. They see a need and they try to come up with something to help that need or give people a better way of doing something. The human intellect is an amazing thing. So it goes back to what Wesley was talking about, is keeping Scripture first. And then reason, we got to have reason. If it don't make sense, it won't fit. So we got to reason and let God's Word reason with us as we come together and reason with one another. And then the other thing is experience. We got to experience that relationship with the living God. And only you know whether that transition and that transformation in your life has taken place. And if you know that you know that you know and you experience God's grace, then you can go and tell other folks about it. And because it's your testimony, nobody can take it away from you. So when you got that experience and knowing that the truth will set you free, as Jesus said, then you can share it with others. And then tradition. Traditions are good in a lot of ways. And our tradition is Wesleyan theology in the Methodist Church. And there's nothing wrong with that. We got a great history. So with that said, I don't know. I just thinking today. I don't know what I was thinking about. Then I had one time a fellow, when I was serving a grave memorial at the end of the service, I always stand at the back door, and he said, "Preacher, I don't know what you said today. It seemed awful convoluted to me, but I got a lot out of it." Now, it don't make any sense, does it, if it's convoluted? Because the Holy Spirit evidently was trying to help him reason through some stuff. So, praise the Lord, because the Lord is the one who saves. He is the one who redeems the entire person. Body, soul, and mind. And that regenerated person is a new creation in Christ. That's what we call that experience. So the biblical view of intellect is that the mind is a wonderful gift from God, but it can be damaged by sin. So as we receive God's forgiveness through Christ and our understanding can be purified and transformed and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, we will have a new perspective on oneself and God's master plan. So I go back to what I was saying earlier about Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, God said, come now, let us reason together. So, if you are damaged goods, so to speak, all you got to do is return to the Creator, and He'll help you fix it. And that's what you do when you buy a product or something like that, because only the manufacturer understands that product and how it works. Only God, who created us in His image, knows everything about us and how we work and how it can be fixed. But then you got to come by faith. You got to be able to humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Then He will lift you up higher and higher. Amen to that. Well, we thank God for the opportunity to come, and thank you for letting me just ramble. I had no idea what I wanted to talk about today. Now I just spent 10, 11 minutes talking about nothing, but I hope you got something out of it. That's all that matters. I just want to be a seed planter, planting the seeds of the gospel. Well, we do have a lot of people that's on our prayer list, and we come into a prayer of agreement with and for. But you don't need an 800 number. You don't even need a preacher. You know, you can talk to God directly. And when the disciples were with Jesus, at the end of the day, you heard me say this before, my thinking, my imagination, they stopped and they built a fire and they cooked some fish and they broke bread together and they fellowshipped. And then Jesus would go off by Himself. And that bothered them. They didn't know what He was doing when He goes off by Himself. So they said, Lord, what do you do when you go off by yourself? He said, well, guys, you know I'm God in the flesh. I get tired just like you do. I need some rest. I need some food. And then I need to talk to the Father. Talk to the Father? Yeah. Talk to the one who sent me here, guys. Can we do that? And He said, you sure can. He said, I'll give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with, so that you have a model to follow by talking to God. This is the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day.